This is the Keegan Podcast, Episode 6, The Problem with Intelligent Design. I'm John Keegan. In the past 8 years, I have written 7 different pieces of varying lengths on why intelligent design is not science. And those pieces are listed. Links to those pieces are listed in the show notes. This episode is intended to give you an overview of the arguments in those pieces and to encourage comment on those pieces. The latest piece I wrote was published just a few days ago on my website, Intelligent Design, Credibility, and the Lack Thereof. It is a response to a comment from a user, and I appreciated his comment because it questioned my thought process and the way I arrived at my conclusions. And it also gave me a reason to rewrite, review, and add to my intelligent design content. I come from the standpoint that intelligent design is not science. The reason I come from that standpoint is the fundamental pillar of intelligent design is a pre-existing intelligence whose existence can either be disproven. Can either be proven nor disproven by observation or experiment. Now, that's one reason that intelligent design isn't a scientific theory. Another reason intelligent design isn't a scientific theory is that there's no science that supports it. There is no article in any peer-reviewed scientific journal that says we've done XYZ experiment to test the intelligent design theory, and we have found observations that support intelligent design. There's just nothing. And the third reason that intelligent design is not a scientific theory is the Kitzmühler versus Dover federal court case in 2005 that stated, that gave 3 reasons why intelligent design fall short of a scientific theory. Basically, Judge Johnny Jones concluded in his opinion that intelligent design is creationism. Therefore, I conclude in my most recent article that the only reason for the existence of intelligent design is as a vehicle to interject creationism in the science classroom, and that violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which states in part, and I'm doing this from memory, so I'll probably butcher it. Congress will create no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. Now, the main proponent of intelligent design, the Discovery Institute, has in recent years tried to get people that want creationism taught in the science classroom away from using the term intelligent design, because the Discovery Institute knows if the term intelligent design ends up in legislation, it'll be challenged in federal court and it'll be struck down as unconstitutional. So they've moved from focusing on intelligent design to teach the controversy. Because the Discovery Institute wants people to believe that there are scientists out there that have a problem with evolution. There is no controversy. Scientists accept the scientific theory of evolution, just as scientists accept the theory of gravity. Okay? The controversy, to teach the controversy, is a creation of the Discovery Institute, because they want both sides to be heard. So what they're trying to do now to get creationism into the science classroom is having people come up with legislation that use code words such as critical thinking and academic freedom. Their most recent failed attempt at doing this took place in Montana, I believe, and there's a link to my most recent article that link goes to the introduction of that bill. In the Montana Education Committee, the bill had one supporter. It was to promote critical thinking in the science classroom, something that's redundant because there's already critical thinking in the science classroom. The only purpose for this bill was to get creationism into the science classroom. The bill had one supporter, and many detractors, and I recommend the link to you. It's a very clear illustration of what happens when a community organizes to get something done politically. Now, one of the things that I've noticed recently, and I touch upon in the new article, is that supporters of intelligent design, creationism, do not make a distinction between the scientific theory of evolution and social Darwinism. And that's confusing, because they're two separate concepts. Social Darwinism is an ideology using the competitive view of nature and Darwin's concept of the struggle for existence as a basis for a social theory. Okay. However, Darwin cannot be held responsible for the interpretations of natural selection made by social philosophers. His theory of natural selection described a biological process, not a social philosophy. And the supporters of intelligent design don't make that distinction. They want to draw a direct line between the scientific theory of evolution to what I would call nastiness of social Darwinism. And that just can't be done. And believe me, as a physically disabled individual with cerebral palsy who uses a power chair to get from one place to another, I don't subscribe to any tenets of social Darwinism, because by those tenets, I wouldn't have the right to receive the assistance from the federal, state, and local governments that I do. Assistance like paratransit, for example, which allows me to get anywhere in the country so that I can work when I can, or go on vacation, or go to places like Vlogger Fair, which will be happening in Seattle, Washington in June. That's Chris Perillo's project, and I encourage you to go to vloggernome.com or do a search on Google for Vlogger Fair. I probably won't be able to go because at that time I have some other things I need to be doing. But the tenets of social Darwinism wouldn't allow any assistance for the physically disabled, in my point of view. So I don't support that at all. But to say that the scientific theory of evolution necessarily leads to social Darwinism is inaccurate and confusing. So basically, intelligent design is just another name for creationism. And creationism, because of the 1987 decision, Supreme Court decision, excuse me, Edwards versus Aguilar, cannot be taught in the public schools. But the supporters of intelligent design creationism at the Discovery Institute and elsewhere will continue to introduce legislation that disguise the teaching of creationism as academic freedom or critical thinking, because there is no science behind intelligent design. If there were, the science could stand on its own, and it wouldn't have to be legislated into the science classroom. please comment at the comment area on this page or on Twitter or Facebook.
The Keegan Podcast is a production of jgkeegan.com Productions. Copyright 2013, all rights reserved. For more information, please visit jgkeegan.com.